The Steamrollers Adventure Podcast contains mature language and situations. Discretion is advised.
Adventure Podcast, Episode 0.
Thank you, Robbie. Hey, why don't you tell the people who you are? I mean, since this is our premiere episode and all, nobody knows exactly who you are, so why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? This is your one and only chance.
Of course. I am RBY2187, an automaton in the service of SkyTrain Publishing. I have been programmed to introduce each episode of the show.
There you go. And who am I?
Oh dear, you have amnesia. Quick, allow me to strike your cranium with something heavy.
Whoa, hey, hold it,
please,
hold it, watch it.
Hold
Robbie,
still.
Robbie.
I'm almost
Robbie,
there.
Robbie, hold it, stop it, Robbie.
Hold still. Michael? Oh well, while I attempt to revive Michael, please enjoy this teaser of our show.
Seven.
Okay, you come, the first guy, who supposedly, allegedly, has this key, is running like a bat out of hell, and, like, breaks a corner, and then another corner, heading down an alley. The other guy, who is larger, who's trying to chase after him, who keeps, like, looking over his shoulder to see if you're following, doing that, as anyone would know, slows him down. So you get to the point where you, like, barely grab his jacket. All right, now you get to the window, and you click the latches, push it down, and when you lean out to look, you got to pull back right away because there is an unarmed black uniformed guard
him.
On that side.
Fucking
he seems
kill
to be the he's the only one. But it's almost like we're going to board the train and search. They planted one guy on the opposite side to make sure nobody does what you're about to try to do. You get to the rooftop and he's running across the roof and you look and he almost stumbles, backs up a little bit so you get to close some more distance. He runs and jumps. Leaping across to the next roof.
Like, tackle him.
You're pouring yourself a glass of vodka and clear liquid dripping into clear liquid. And then you see red, another drip of red. And as you look, your hand is kind of shaking. And there's blood all over your hand that's going down the bottle and dripping in. And you put it down and you feel like shaky all over. Both your hands are covered with blood.
What the fuck? You passed out. You had an episode.
The fire is now down to embers and there is light. Like sunlight coming through the morning sunlight coming through.
So I still got blood on my hands?
Yeah.
Lay off the booze, man.
Oh, crap.
Shit. Lay off the booze. What do you do now?
All right.
Roll 2 20s. The first one to close the distance, the second one to bash.
14? 17.
You killed him. Dead.
You have just splashed water on your face. You are wearing a brown suit that's like brand new.
Ah.
Have that pistol tucked in your back.
Boom.
Title card.
1 p.m.
It's like 24 going backwards.
Yeah. You've just finished combing your hair, washing your face off. You have no idea where you're at or why you're here. He's gone, and another guy appears in his place.
Boom!
You're gonna bop him?
Yeah!
All right.
My God.
So I was staring behind him.
I'm just an agent. All right, here we are. Frederick Gressman. He steps in front of the door. Hole this big, splinters, other small holes around it. There is nothing left of Booth's face.
Oh, no.
He's thrown back against the wall from
the
blast of the
shotgun. The beautiful
mustache
is gone?
What?
Oh, no.
All that's left is the mustache.
Big mustache. The mustache is stuck to the wall behind him.
Oh,
wow.
No.
His body slumps back against the wall, slides down to the ground. You hear the cocking of a shotgun.
I'm going to take his weapon.
Yeah, when he slumps down there is a pistol in...
The
shoulder holster that you see.
Cool.
So what do you do?
There you go. As good as new.
Never hit me again.
Ugh.
Didn't Asimov's rules of robotics make it into automaton camp?
I do not know an Asimov, and I have never been to camp. Ooh, would you like to go? We can get a flame, two mushmelons, and sing songs around the fire like...
No, we're not...
She'll
we're
be
not
coming around the mountain
Robbie,
and the Victoria
no.
Cross.
Robbie,
and we can go fishing and
no.
hunt bar
Robbie, we're not,
and braid
Robbie,
each other's hair and tip a canoe and Tyler, too.
Where's your key? Where'd you put
sing,
your key?
Row, Robbie, row, row your boat in a round like this.
RBY2187, where's
row,
your key?
Row, row your boat. Jolly down the stream. Your boat. Barely down the stream.
Robbie! While his gears wind down, why don't you take a listen to a sampling of some of the crazy characters you'll meet in the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast.
Oh, the valve?
The valve, yeah.
Was that valve sticking again?
Yeah, it was sticking again.
You know, I was going to change that out for you before you went off, but I figured, no, screw it. He's going to have plane. You didn't? So that's what kept you all day, because the valve was sticking?
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'll get right on that.
I'm going to wipe my hands off on some rag somewhere.
Rose says, well, here's the thing. In order for you, Mr. Griffith, was it?
Yes.
In order for you to defect into the Imperial United States from a country that is the enemy of the Imperial United States, you need to bring them something. Otherwise, they're going to see you as an enemy, and they're going to kill you. And then you hear the voice of the Emperor, which you only hear once a month. No one has ever actually seen him. No.
Man behind the curtain.
Fellow citizens of the Empire, I regret to inform you that on the 23rd of September, a corporate interest of Thorn and Hearst Acquisitions was brazenly attacked by the forces of the American Confederation.
People are like, it's really dead quiet now. They're all looking at each other and jaws are dropping open.
It's
like,
wool.
Yeah, this does not sound like another report on what crops are going to be like.
I'm off the hook then.
If you get a position with Thorn and Hearst, it'll be the position we give you.
Absolutely, sir.
How do you feel about being a driver?
Everyone has to start somewhere.
When you were 17, you left your home in the Confederation. Why?
It wasn't the direction I wanted to go in.
Another body falls past the window.
I'm trying to defect to the air.
Shh, shh, shh. I don't know what it's like where you come from, but here there are a lot of ears. So let's not say the D word.
Okay.
And the guy behind her with the bowl says,
yeah, she done slapped me down a couple times too when I used it. And we learned real quick not to use the D word.
He steps forward and says,
good to meet another countryman looking to make the right decision.
And he introduces himself as
Colonel Mitch Jackson III.
Colonel?
You guys have something in common. You're both turds.
And his hands are resting on a walking stick.
Does that seem surprised, or...?
You should be, because you woke up... Not only did you wake up in a sewer, you woke up across from what appears to be an English gentleman.
Well, I'll, like, stumble backwards from where I was at.
Maybe he can tell you what happened.
And ask, who are you?
Well, sir, I am surprised. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Nigel Edmund Wesley, your batsman.
My grandson is in those files, and a pupil of mine. I wanted to help.
Who could that be?
Who's the pupil?
That one.
You're going to be part of a rebellion, yes? Overthrowing the evil
the two that are dead is
Imperial corporations, particularly Thorn and Hearst.
I don't know anything about it.
I can see into your mind as clearly as you can see my face here. Don't toy Charles or Cecil or whatever your name is.
I want to give these gents up here in the tall buildings a good heads up of what's coming their way. Because it just ain't right. It just ain't right. And someone needs to go to them thinking machines and tell them this just ain't right. Have them machines put a stop to it. Put the kibosh right on it.
I agree with you.
You got to have some of this stew. It's great.
I'm going to miss you, Marty.
I'm going to give her a hug.
Okay.
Come on!
She'll hug you back and kiss you on the cheek and then turn around and run.
You're going to war. You got to plant one on her.
No, she's running off.
Yeah. You blew
chase
it.
Chase her. Chase her.
She's going to war. He's going to be plowing. So, Crash. Oh, sorry, Martin.
Martin.
So where Crash.
Where were you before all of this?
Iowa.
We're in Iowa. Oh, you from here? You're not too far away?
Not too far.
Not north of Iowa.
Yeah, a little farm community.
Ah, is it nice?
It was.
Till all this happened?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look at us now. Sips his coffee. We're in the lap of luxury. Tell you to be honest with you, I'd like to stay right here. I don't care about becoming a sky pilot. This is the cush, don't you think?
No.
Enter.
The door opens and Wesley comes in.
Hello, sir. You sent for me?
Yes, Wesley. I need you to do me a favor.
Absolutely, sir. You know you can count on me anytime, anywhere.
I said I give him the dossiers. Mm-hmm. Says I want you to memorize those and put in punch cards for me.
Very good, sir.
If I were you, Colonel, I would move to the next window. Make your escape.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
I'll hold him here.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do. I'm a crazy, all for the love of you.
So anyway, what is all this? Well, imagine four friends getting together to play a unique role-playing game based on a best-selling novel. It's not Dungeons & Dragons, though pen, paper, and dice are involved. Now imagine we digitally record the game, package it with original music and sound effects, and then...
It's not a bestseller.
What are you saying? Hold on. What are you saying, Robbie? Wait, hold on. Wind him up.
It's not a bestseller.
There, no, what are you saying?
Your novel was not a bestseller, Michael. While it is true that it did reach the top 5 of time travel and steampunk on Amazon.com, that is a common occurrence for new do-it-yourself authors using the Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing.
Robbie, that's, yeah, well, you know, when you first launch a book, that's what's gonna, I mean, you're gonna, you know, the cream rises to the
top.
For
the period of approximately 3.2 hours.
Robbie. Anyway, hey, folks, how about some more plot points from the show while Robbie and I have a discussion about publishing?
I don't like it.
Worse. So as she's being pulled away, her husband runs to intervene. He says, "I don't treat my wife that way." The guard turns, shoots her in the head.
Whoa.
And everybody witnesses this and absolutely loses their shit. Screaming in panic, falling to the ground, the children are crying, whatever. The guy immediately moves to another, just a random guy, shoots him right in the head.
Let me get the flashlight.
I'll get it. Wallace runs off to get the flashlight, leaving you and Sarah.
All right.
Between the house and the cornfield.
And keep my eye on the cornfield.
She's going to look up at the window and she screams. All right, you take aim, you fire. You see a blossom of red explode from his calf. And he, like, stumbles forward, cries out, and he, like, reaches down. His leg is kind of wobbly, and smacked by a truck.
Oh!
She gets up, like, locks up her desk, closes the lid on the card reading machine, goes outside. You hear the latch lock. And she, like, heads down the hall, and you hear knocks on doors. Code 7.
How come you're not giving this code 7?
Oh, yeah, I should know what code 7 is.
It means clear the floor. The general has top secret information to discuss.
Oh, okay.
He slowly closes the door.
Slowly he
locks
turns.
It. Takes out the key. Tosses you the key. Okay. He goes back to sit down. He goes, "So much has changed since you've been gone." All right, you're going to be rolling a series of 20s to dodge the spotlight.
I also have +3 to stealth.
You will be using your +3 to stealth. So roll a 20 +3.
What do you mean?
I have a 9.
Yeah, you get, you actually, the first spotlight centers on you, and you hear, like, rifles cocking and gear winding. What do you do? Roll,
reaching by you to
roll
whip it out.
Two 20s. What, your pistol score?
Yep.
You have a pistol?
+5.
+5, add that.
Ooh. Okay.
+15.
23. 17.
Okay, you, like, hop up, kick the chair back, whip around with the pistol, back between the eyes, right between the eyes. Two of them, down. The other two guys, like, stop right away and put their hands up.
I tell them to lie in the stomach.
Okay, they do so. And you hear the servos working in his arms. He's like, "Excuse me, sir, I seem to be in a bit of a sticky wicket."
I'll pull out my revolver.
Okay.
And fire at it.
Okay. Yeah, roll a 20 +10.
15.
Ooh.
Shit.
Okay. That's when the car hits a bump.
Roll a 6-header.
5.
Yeah. Bingo.
Okay, we're back. Wow. Yeah, well, anyway, that's what the show is about. It's basically a role-playing game.
What is a role-playing game?
Robbie, you should have asked that question earlier. This would be much more fluid and less... Yeah, anyway. A role-playing game is a game played typically with dice... and a group of friends. They create characters out of their imaginations, and the story crafter, otherwise known as the DM or dungeon master or game master or host, provides them with scenarios. So I give these guys a scenario out of the universe established in my best-selling novel.
It's not a bestseller.
Okay, out of a book that I wrote and published myself that has made me barely enough money to buy a microphone. Are you happy now, Robbie?
I'm ecstatic, Michael, as always.
Anyway, so it's a group of friends get together and we play a game. I'm the host or story crafter. I give these guys scenarios and their characters try to get through them. And there are points of danger. But as you'll hear in this final collection of clips from the show, there are some pretty funny parts as well. Okay, Robbie, Robbie, that's fake laughter. It doesn't. Enjoy these clips, folks.
You wake up extremely stiff. You have five morphology.
You're stiff as the dead.
Would you stop five making morphology. Dick jokes?
Yeah, we could stop by at the house and
maybe get Dilbert for some pomade.
run some crick grease through your hair. Uh-huh. You know, you could shake Mr. Pratt's hand, probably pull enough grease off from the handshake and slick it through your hair.
Yeah, I'll tell him before we leave then that I was having some problems with that.
Sits back at a table. There's a discarded newspaper. He picks it up, opens it. He's looking at something on the inside on the headline, or on the front. Cubs take 7.
7-1.
You wish.
No, according to the paper, it's they have just taken their 7th World Series in a row.
Yeah.
Thank God this is a fantasy world.
George, if you eventually get around to reading...
Michael, it's steampunk. We got to keep it somewhat realistic here. Okay? Yeah, somewhat realistic.
Yeah, what happened to him?
A little disoriented from the teleportation.
Wow.
Jameson knocked him out.
Wow. You just called him on that one.
The hell? War?
To war.
To war.
To war.
To war.
To war.
They said it was voluntary?
I miss the Marx Brothers.
We do.
And you could add your plus to both of them.
I got a 20, natural. A natural 20.
Ooh,
and then the 5 on top of that. I don't know if it's for leverage.
With the extra 5, you killed him.
You ripped his arm off.
And what's your second roll?
Ripped his arm off like a gorilla.
You rip his arm off and beat the other guy with it.
Well, another 20.
I got another 20.
Wow.
Pay up.
Seriously?
Pay up. I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I did.
Mr. Gorilla.
So tell me how I beat people to death with arms.
All right. Hold on.
Just jump in the line, push him out of the way, and then look up at the tower.
Yeah, yep.
That'd be the best bet.
Roll 20. See if you can do it before the bullets start flying.
Do I get to add anything to it?
I believe last time I was driving back to my house after encountering the Imperial troops that were at...
I am so leaving that in. Signal them to get.
What was that?
I just signaled them to get a little closer to the mic. What the hell does that mean?
That means I was warming up to get closer to the mic.
Oh. Imperial Newsnight and Fresh Fry.
But I'm thinking it's your cousin's all pasty white. We need to call upon him to go join the army.
Yeah,
I didn't understand a word you said.
Lyle Barnett, 116th Infantry. Your report tomorrow morning.
Excuse me. Oh, no, that wasn't me.
Yeah, Martin.
Carry on.
Seriously, how do you react? You see the body of a man fall past the window.
I would just glance at it and be like, my character is very calm.
He's on something.
Most of the pilots here are kite pilots. Very few of them rank highly in biplanes. But you... would rank extremely high in biplanes, since that's where you cut your teeth.
Great.
Since age what?
14.
Exactly, 14. When you lost your...
arm.
In a...
I was going to say something else. Well,
welcome to the club, buddy. No.
There's his first.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
And All right, Martin Barnett.
Yes.
All right, describe your character's face.
He's got the blue eyes.
So he's got blue eyes and brown hair.
He's 5'11". He's got a narrow face, and he likes cheese.
Well, that describes his face. Yeah. He has a face that looks like it enjoys cheese.
It's written all over.
Yes.
And Martin hops out.
Did you see that? Did you see that?
No, we're just watching.
Jameson beat the crap out of him.
No, none of us saw the plane land in front of the diner.
Let's see. Well, you have a plus +3 to hand-to-hand.
You sure?
He's more than a few hands away from you, though.
Use your plus +10 demon
jump. I have
jump.
Ghoul speed.
Oh, ghoul speed, that's on.
That's ghoul speak.
Oh, speak.
Oh. That's not as useful currently.
When you look at him, go... I'm sure he wouldn't shoot you.
Stay
here. Live. Take care of my mom.
Live.
Live for all of us. Yeah, there you go.
Live for all of us.
Stay gold, pony boy. So she heads to the back of the diner. Martin, you wake up.
How's that again? I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I think you and your brother have more in common than you think.
What's his brother's name?
Durr.
Don't say that.
It is. We've invested too much in this character, guys. His name is Durr.
Blow it up, you mean?
Yes.
I guess we could do that.
Blow up the car?
And them.
And them.
Then how will you get out?
Well, four of us could cram in the plane.
You can fit four in there?
Who would carry all of us?
Laps. You got laps.
I'll sit with Adrian.
I think we should roll for
And by the way, you did get your toast, and it was dry and plain.
And delicious.
And the opposite side, burnt like a coal.
Dang.
That's how I like my toast.
Like your women?
burnt like coal.
Burnt and dry.
Burnt and dry. All right, so...
That's going to be edited up.
Yeah, no chance. I'm keeping it all in.
Oh,
yep.
No.
Warts and all, warts and all. That's our show, warts and all. You get to find out what kind of dickheads we all are. Oh, excuse me. Anyway, I really hope you enjoy the show. It's intended for fans of steampunk. If you don't know what that is, look it up. There's going to be another episode where we flash back to... I'm not going to do this right away because I want it to be fun and exciting. So we're going to start right out of the box with chapter one of our story. But at some point, we recorded a show, a couple of shows where the guys rolled up their characters. And we went through what all is in the universe of the Heart of Bronze, which is the what I call the universe in my book. Yes, Robbie. Very funny. You've already established that I'm just a hack. Mechanical bastard. Anyway, I hope you just have a lot of fun. Aside from the steampunk, if you're a gamer, if you like board games, it'll be interesting because of the mechanics of the whole situation. If you like stories and fantasy and science fiction, witchcraft, and stories that involve puzzle solving and mystery, and of course, a lot of humor. When we started this show, recording it, really did not intend to be a comedy, but... essentially, that's what it turned out being because you can't get these guys to shut up and pay attention to the game. They can't just concentrate on their characters. They have to, we go off in so many tangents, just kind of like
Michael,
I'm doing.
If I may get you back on track, shouldn't we end the premiere episode so that our listeners can go on to listen to chapter one? It's quite exciting. It involves Cecil. Cecil is aboard a Russian trawler ship,
Robbie.
Which Ray
Robbie,
as
don't stop
that
it.
Establishes
okay.
Some
Robbie,
clarity as well. Ha,
Robbie,
ha,
don't give away the story. Let people find out for themselves. And on that note... this ends the premiere episode. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of myself and Ray and George and Derek and Judy and everyone else and Jeff and all the people associated with our show thus far and Robbie, hope you enjoy the Steamrollers Adventure Podcast. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye! She woke up naked and alone with no memories, staring up into the eyes of a handsome soldier.
She had no idea who she was, how she got here, or the fact that her very presence would change reality forever. Clockwork Looking Glass debuted at number 2 on the Amazon Hot New Releases in the sci-fi steampunk charts and was number 1 in time travel.
Clockwork Looking Glass is available at Amazon.com. You can get the Kindle edition for only $2.99. Or you could purchase the paperback edition for $18.50. If you're a Kindle Unlimited subscriber, you can get the book for free. Or continue listening to the show because Michael often caves and offers his own book for free for Kindle.
Robbie, quit giving away my secrets!
Rush right out and get your copy of Clockwork Looking Glass today. Or wait until he releases it for free.
Robbie, shut up. Back to the show.
For more information, go to www.rigstories.com.
Mama.